This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Taking you up to the bottom of the hour, it's Grant and Danny welcoming you back on the Fan. Denton and Toby are in the bullpen getting loose. They are ready to go for Burgundy and Gold pregame at 6:30 this evening. Washington has built a strong foundation on the field. It is time for you to think about your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Condori and Murat. Those are the guys, Danny, that have brought us to Philadelphia
yes.
to deal with Eagles fans all night.
And our wills and trusts are in order thanks to those guys.
That's right.
The deal, right? That's the right group to travel with.
They squared that away for us before we go to the game, which is nice. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. On the guest hotline, our buddy Logan Paulson. Nobody smarter to break this game down with than Logan, who will be on the sideline tonight. Logan, it's an NFC East clash. Eagles, Commanders, first place on the line. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm as ready as I'm going to be, man. This is going to be a really exciting matchup, obviously, divisional. And, I think Philadelphia's playing some pretty good football, so can't wait to watch the Commanders kind of go toe-to-toe with a really good football team.
How good are they, Logan? They've done what Washington has done to a degree and beaten up on teams that are, towards the bottom of the league. You give them credit for that. They haven't slipped up. They've beaten some teams pretty soundly here since the bye week. What does the tape tell you? How good are they?
Yeah, I mean, I think like person for person across the roster, this is probably the most talented team that we've faced or the Commanders have faced this season. And I think, specific on the defensive side of the football, obviously, like you mentioned, they're not playing the best teams in football over the last couple of weeks, but over the last three games, man, they're playing excellent. I think they're the number one defense of the last three games in the NFL, and it shows up. They're doing a great job in the back end. They're creating pressure with four. They are a problem. They're a problem defensively, and they play fast. They've got great athletes, and they're starting to buy into that Vic Fangio defense. And on the offensive side of the football, it's a lot of the same. You're not going to find when Jordan Mailata is healthy, if he does play tonight, you're not going to find a better offensive line in football. Saquon Barkley, everyone knows what he can do. The two outside receivers are some of the best and maybe the best duo in football. I think the weak link offensively is Jalen Hurts, but that's not an indictment of him. That's just speaking to how good every other position on that offense is. So it is. They are legit. I think they're starting to buy in schematically to the new coordinators, and I think that's starting to show up.
Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny here on the Fan, getting you ready for the Eagles and the Commanders in NFC East collision tonight under the lights at Lincoln Financial Field. I want to drill down more on that defense. You mentioned Vic Fangio. It seems like everywhere he goes, success follows. What is the Vic Fangio defense that you just referenced?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, everyone's talking about, everyone's kind of freaking out about split safety or too high. I mean, he's the guy that's really kind of brought that to the forefront. Since probably 2018, they play kind of this split safety, so two safeties in the back end, and it's kind of a quarters, cover six, maybe a little cover two, and the whole idea is that you don't really know what the coverage is. They kind of play the same structure at the beginning every time, and then roll or stem or take some quarters and play match underneath, and so it becomes really hard to throw the football against it, and traditionally it's easier to run the football against that kind of defensive structure because you got guys out of the box. but the Philadelphia Eagles and other places he's been, you know, when I was with him in Chicago, they get big, hulking defensive linemen that can take double teams up and be disruptive in the run game. And I think Philadelphia, at least right now on tape, is starting to have the makings of that type of defensive front. So he's kind of got the perfect environment. He's got a really good nickel player in Cooper Jean. He's really come on over the last couple weeks, and that's a really key part of it because that player is really stressed. They've got to blitz. They've got to cover. They've got to fit the run. And so when you get a guy like Cooper Jean playing good football, it really elevates that defense. So lots of elements that have been recently acquired to Philadelphia, young players starting to play better, really maximizing what he wants to do and making it tough for opposing offenses.
Logan Paulson with us here on G&D. So you pointed out with Cooper DeJean, since he's come into the lineup, they've just been much better all over the place. The pass rush is interesting to me. They're middle of the pack in terms of sacks. A couple years removed, Logan, from being incredible in that area where they were record-setting. They were a juggernaut getting to the quarterback. Last year, a bit of a step down. This year, again, kind of middle of the pack. But it's a lot of different guys that have sacks. It tells me there's pressure from all over the place. You sort of never know who's rushing, who's not. Just give me your analysis there of how they try to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, they don't blitz a lot. I think they have one of the lower pressure rates in the NFL. Obviously, when they do blitz, it's kind of a design, kind of fun pressure package. But they got guys that can beat you up front. You know, I think, you know, the sack numbers to me, I don't know why they're low, because when I watch, I see a bunch of guys that can win one-on-ones. You know, Josh Sweat does a great job. Jalen Carter does a great job. Milton, their other kind of three technique, number 93 for them, wins in one-on-one passing situations inside. Nolan Smith on the perimeter starting to figure it out. And, you know, they've got a nice rotation there at that left defensive end spot. So and Brandon Graham still playing good football in terms of being able to compress a pocket. So I think they've got a lot of pieces there. So it's surprising that the number's low, because when I watch the film in passing situations, I see guys that are capable of winning one-on-ones. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of when I was watching the Steelers. Like, they don't blitz a lot, but they got some guys that, you know, like, for example, I think that's a really good comparison now that I'm thinking about it. They had one of the lowest pressure rates in the NFL, but they had one of the highest sack totals in the NFL when rushing with four. And it feels like that Philadelphia would be in the same bucket for me.
Logan, how about Washington's offensive front? A few-parter here, if you could kind of assess how some of the guys are playing at tackle, but it sounds like maybe Andrew Wiley is going to play and Cornelius Lucas could be available as well. Brandon Coleman and him have split reps and looked good at left tackle kind of interchangeably. What do you make of how those guys are playing at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think Wiley's doing a fantastic job, and Cliff Kingsbury has done a great job of making sure that he's not leveraged to the hilt like he was last year. I think he's a competitive guy down in and down out. He's a fighter. He's a scrapper. And that shows up in the run game. His ability to bend and kind of take those good angles and be an athlete to the second level has really enhanced the run game. I think he's done a good job improving as a pass protector. And I think, you know, big Luke does a great job in pass pro, obviously as a run blocker because he's so big, at times struggles. But I think that's where kind of Coleman's, you know, development is so important, because Coleman has the athleticism as a pass protector and the bend in the run game. He's just got to see more reps and develop. So I think overall, those guys have done a good job, and the offensive line coach deserves a lot of credit for their development. But I also think Cliff has really found ways to maximize that entire group. You know, everyone talks about the chip help that he uses, but Cliff also does a really good job of kind of using pullers in unique ways, different play action looks to kind of deleverage those guys, and obviously running the football. So I think they're playing well in what Cliff is asking them to do, and I think if they can run the football tonight, I think they'll be A-okay.
Logan, what impact will Brian Robinson have?
I mean, you know, that's like the easiest question of all time. I mean, he's one of the best runners, in my opinion, in the division. Like, his ability to keep the offense on schedule is just unparalleled in terms of the backs they have. Obviously, Austin Eckler is explosive. McNichols runs hard. He's a great pass protector. Even Chris Rodriguez has shown some power at times, but B-Rob is kind of the best combination. You know, he's big, he's fast, he's got great vision, great contact balance. He can kind of keep you in those second and sixes, second and sevens a little bit better than those other guys can, because he can kind of make his own space. He can bring his own blocker to the party, and I think that keeps the offense on schedule. I think last week was a good indicator of why he's so important. Last week they had 9 negative plays, that sacks included. Some of those were runs, and that's something that B-Rob's been really good at not doing this year, not taking his negative runs. And then that keeps the offense on schedule, on rhythm. And one of the things that they've been excellent at offensively is just staying on schedule. staying on schedule, whether it's quick game from Jaden Daniels, scramble from Jaden Daniels, runs from B-Rob. And so not only does he do that, but I think he gives Cliff a lot of confidence that they can do that and still be effective running the football. So if he plays tonight, he's going to have a huge impact on the confidence of the play caller and the efficiency of the offense.
Nobody's going to have a better view for this game than Logan Paulson, who's going to be at field level on the sideline, joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. This past week, the game against the Steelers, a lot was made out of, you know, how they did a bang-up job keeping Jaden Daniels in the pocket. Is any part of that replicable? And there have been now two of the last three performances in varying degrees. The Bears game, they actually moved the ball brilliantly, but they scored 12 points before the Hail Mary. Now the Steelers game, where they actually scored points, but they couldn't move the ball on some short fields. You know, kind of the inverse performances. But the two really good defenses they've played, the results offensively have been very different than the rest of the season, I would say. And now they're playing maybe the other of the three really good defenses they're going to be facing here in this stretch. What do you make of whether or not something's been solved at all?
Yeah, I don't know if anything's been solved. I think those teams deserve a lot of credit. I think the Steelers came in with a very specific plan. You know, they're going to rush five. They're going to stunt the front. They're going to find ways to maintain control of the pocket, pocket integrity, rush lanes. And I think when they did rush four, those guys have rushed together for a long time, and you could just tell they knew each other really well and knew the spacing. And instead of creating gaps in their rush lanes, the pocket just kind of would constrict like a noose around Jaden Daniels. And so that's all just good football, and everybody comes in with that type of plan. I do think that having two good interior pass rushers for Pittsburgh and for the Chicago Bears helps with that, because I think Jaden Daniels wants to step up and find those creases. And when you get that press on the interior of the pocket, it makes that a little bit harder. So maybe that's kind of something that's repeatable. But I do look at kind of what Pittsburgh did, and they played a lot of man on first down. They played heavy boxes on first down. I don't think Vic Fangio is going to do that. I don't think that's who he wants to be. He's never really been that way. I think he's going to rely on his front to kind of maintain control of the pocket, rush with integrity. And as we've seen, you know, in the Ron Rivera era and other coaches we've had here, like that's easier said than done. So I think there's an opportunity for Jaden Daniels to get back to kind of some of those, you know, little scrambles, getting first downs, things like that, versus this defense who's going to play a little bit softer coverage structures. And I'm excited to see that. They are a fast, physical group. Don't get me wrong. They're going to present a bunch of different issues for him. They're going to be confusing in terms of the coverage structures they present. What are we in? It looks the same. We're in match. We're in four. We're in six. That's going to be challenging. But in terms of stopping the run, Vic Fangio has never been a guy who's going to sell the farm to do that. He plays the analytic game pretty hard, and he's been at the forefront of that for a long time. So I don't think you're going to see the same plan that you saw from the Bears, or you saw from Cleveland, or you saw from the Steelers. It's going to be kind of, he's going to do what he does, and I think that is a little bit more favorable for Jaden Daniels.
Logan Paulson was with Washington, Chicago, San Francisco, Atlanta, Houston. Lengthy career as a tight end in the NFL. That's why I want to dive in on the tight ends with you quickly. A lot's been made about Zach Ertz's inability to make plays after the catch, lack of yards after the catch. We kind of knew when they signed him. At this point of his career, he's a catch and fall guy. But where are you at on his role in the offense and his importance to Daniels? Should they be looking to send it a little more? He's got three targets all year, and two of them came with Mariota in a half when Daniels wasn't out.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There, including his first two catches of the season.
Yeah, so I think that what Zach does is never going to show up on a stat sheet because we don't really have an analytic driver for it. Obviously, there's a separation rate, which I think kind of shows what I'm talking about a little bit. But like he has the ability to identify coverages at a high level, create space versus all coverages, whether that's zone or man, and it's a friendly target to the quarterback. And I think all of those things are things that fans and people who are non like film watchers tend to undervalue. And so when I watch Zach, like I think he's been absolutely fantastic for Jaden Daniels. He's a guy that can consistently win versus man coverage. He can trust him to be in the right spot. He knows how to find spaces and zones. He can run choice and option routes and things like that. And I think that while Benson is an explosive, dynamic athlete who, you know, was very prolific in college, he's still learning some of that nuance. And I think as he gets better in those areas, sure, he can get a larger role in the offense, but he's just not there right now. And it makes sense because Zach's had a long career of doing that. And so I think people who are like, oh, we need to get more explosive at the tight end position, my argument would be, why? You know, he catches a ton of balls for first downs. He finds ways to be explosive, even though he's not running after the catch. And I think he's a special football player, even though he's 34 years old. And does he run the same way he used to? No, but it's the other stuff that he does that's so special for the position. So I think that's where I'd say, like, you know, I don't know if he's going to do this for the next 5 years, but this year, right now, I feel like he's the best option in terms of catching the football at that F move tight end position. And hopefully Benson it grows and can learn from a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer one day.
You know Terry McLaurin's going to get his, and Logan Paulson with us here on G&D. You know Terry's going to get his targets and make his contested plays and do the Terry McLaurin thing. Who's the second receiver tonight in the receiving corps? Maybe not Ertz, but someone opposite Terry that has a nice game.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, Zach Ertz, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. You know, in this, I think it's going to be about how Cliff creates space and how he does that. So I would say that, you know, Terry's probably going to be the guy that's going to sell that vertical element. And when you're playing a Vic Fangio defense, it's about stretching horizontally, you know, the zones, and stretching vertically the zones. So Terry, I think, will be the vertical stretch guy. And then someone who can work underneath at a nice level, I think, is OZ and Noah Brown. I think both those guys are on deck for maybe a big game tonight if the offensive line can protect and kind of allow the concept to distribute the way it needs to. So, yeah, I definitely think OZ could have a big day today because he's shown in games where teams do play a lot of zone, he can find those spots and make explosive plays, you know, taking advantage of the stretch zones based on concept.
We're closing in on kickoff. Logan Paulson with us as we get closer and closer to the start of the Commanders and the Eagles. You're listening to Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What about Olamide Zaccheaus as a punt returner? You just mentioned him. Are you surprised they're sticking with him after he put two balls on the ground last week?
No, I think he's done a great job outside of that. And I think when you go back and watch the film of the Pittsburgh game and when I was on the sideline, I mean, I don't know if I would have noticed. Let me just say that. I don't know if I would have noticed this if I wasn't on the field. The punter for Pittsburgh was kind of doing like a drop punt like you would do in a backed up situation or like when you're punting into the from the 50 into the like kind of a red zone punt, basically. And one of the things I was surprised by is he kind of was getting like a little bit of a knuckle action on the punt, the way he was striking it, which is a little unusual. And I could tell that it was kind of like knuckleballing in the air a little bit. So I just think that was a little bit of a tough stylistic matchup for OZ and one that he's going to learn from, because outside of that, I think he's done a really nice job in that role. And hopefully he grows, hopefully he learns, and hopefully he doesn't make that mistake again.
I'm going to ask you to put your defensive coordinator hat on here, Logie. This to me, you've forgotten more this morning than I know my whole life, but this to me is like the nightmare scenario for Washington's defense trying to deal with an offense like Philadelphia's. They've got every element that scares me matching up against Washington, especially without Marshon Lattimore. Two receivers that, if you don't pay a lot of attention, will kill you. Saquon Barkley can do it. And then if you get everything else right, Jalen Hurts can make you wrong, right, by escaping and running it in his own right. What's your game plan here tonight? How do they slow him down, even stop him at times?
So for me, I think it's all about bending and not breaking. I think you want to play kind of softer zone structures. And I know everyone's like, well, Saquon's going to kill you on the ground. But to me, that's the lesser of two evils in this case. And I know Saquon's got all these highlight reel runs and these big time, you know, mile per hour numbers and explosive runs down the field that have gotten them back on schedule. I understand that. But his down-to-down rushing efficiency this season, obviously against the Cowboys, it was fine. It was like 4.7 yards a rush. But prior to that, it was just okay. It's like, you know, 4 here, 3.5 there, depending on the game. And they haven't been uber efficient down-to-down running the football. What does that mean? That means they're getting stops. Defenses are getting stops. Stop means we're at 2nd and 10, and that means Jalen Hurts has to throw the football. And Jalen Hurts, while a very good player, has not shown the down-to-down consistency in some of those third down, second and long scenarios that makes me super afraid. So I'm like, let's play a little bit of coverage. Let's not get beat with the explosive play. They're not going to be able to maintain the rushing efficiency down-to-down. Ideally, this is all hypothetical theory here. But I think make them go on a 12-play drive, and then if they are in the red zone, Jalen Hurts has 4 turnovers in the red zone this year. So he does kind of tend to hold the football a little long. He tries to force into tight windows. And can you take advantage of those opportunities? And I really think that's your best formula, because you don't want them finding explosive opportunities, whether that's to the receivers or to the backs. And the only way I know how to prevent those, given our personnel at the moment, is to play softer zone coverages. And I think that's what we'll see tonight.
Logan, we'll let you out on this. Let's get your game prediction. We're closing in on the start of Eagles, Commanders, and Philly. What do you got?
I think it's going to be a slobber knocker, but I do think Philly wins. I'm going to say 27-20.
All right, very good.
Appreciate you, man.
Logan, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll give you our predictions in just a couple of minutes, but first it is time for our player to lock in on. We give you this before every single Commanders game. It's presented by Baldino's Lock and Key, your one-stop shop for auto keys and fobs. Visit baldinos.com. Danny, who are you locking in on?
Easy one for me. Zach Ertz, revenge game, right? This is a former Philadelphia Eagle, played here for a long time, torched Washington. Now he's back in his old stomping grounds. They moved on from him. You heard Logan singing his praises, and he's right. I mean, he's still a very valuable player. I don't mean to say that he should be benched or released or cut or anything. It's frustrating when you catch and you fall, and that's it. There's never anything dynamic, and he drops a lot of passes, or more than I care for, certainly, over the course of the season. But this is a huge game. This is the kind of game you need that veteran calming presence, a guy that's been there, a guy that's done it, a guy that's looking to do it again one more time against his former team.
I will go with another former Eagle that we just talked about in that interview with Logan, and that's Alamide Zaccheaus. Last week he put 2 balls on the carpet as a punt returner, which is not acceptable. He has been very good. I actually think he's been terrific as a punt returner. They have ranked very high in yards per return. He does a really good job wasting no movement, no space. He gets right up the field. He's mostly been sure-handed, except the times when he hasn't been. But this is now a really big deal. It's going to be on his mind, obviously, as he drops back to return punts. It's going to be chilly. It might even rain tonight. It's going to be windy. It's going to be cold and under the lights. You're going to have a tough environment. He's used to practicing against a left-footed punter in Tress Way. They brought in right-footed punters this week to boot the ball just so he could get more looks at that, which I think is really smart from this coaching staff. But in a game like this, and it's the same as the Steelers game, frankly, when you're playing a really good team or a team a little bit better than you are probably with a fully healthy, short week, at-home Philly operation locked and loaded, you can't affect
can't the afford game those
negatively, yeah, on special teams. Pretty simple. The other guy I'm going to lock in on is Jaden Daniels, and this one's easy. We haven't done him in a few weeks. We try to avoid it. But I said before the Cincinnati game, Danny, and I have similar feelings as I've said today. That Monday night game, it felt to me like maybe this is the coming out party. Like, if he's special, we're going to find out, because the whole country's watching and you're a little more juiced up and motivated. And in his college career, he always played his biggest games, prime time, under the lights, in conference in the SEC. Maybe he just goes out and balls out against the Bengals. I kind of have that same vibe tonight, where maybe in the division, standalone game, everybody watching, national TV, chance for first place, going into week 12, Jaden Daniels just puts the team on his back. And so I'm locking in on seeing if he's got another one of those in him. He's only thrown the 2 picks all year. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way. He does not play like a rookie. But there have also been a few fewer of the dynamic moments offensively over the last few weeks. I think maybe we get back to seeing more of those tonight.
Would be massive. Because I think you said it very well. You need those. right? Like saying, oh, well, they took away this. And instead of saying, oh, well, shrug your shoulders. No. They need those things. I don't think they can match Philadelphia player for player, talent for talent, right? It reminds me of when the old ACC, when Maryland would have a good team, they go up against Florida State. Well, the seventh guy on Florida State is better than your seventh guy. Your top couple can compete. When you start getting down, you needed something magic to happen. And that's what Daniels has. He has to be the equalizer, right? He has to, like, think of the Cleveland game where a blitzer runs free, has him dead to rights, and then it turns into a 40-yard rush because Daniels just made you wrong. You need something like that to happen tonight, I think, for them to overcome.
All right, final predictions. You go first.
I don't like it. I don't like this one. I didn't like the previous game, and, you know, they end up losing my point, but I think this is the worst of the two matchups, just in terms of personnel, not having Lattimore. I think Philadelphia wins 31-21. 31-21.
Okay. I also have the Eagles winning. I think Washington plays them close, though. I even think there's a chance they cover 3.5 and it's a field goal game. But I'm going to say 30-24 is going to be my final prediction here. Got all 22 of their starters on offense and defense playing in this game. They are healthy. I can't underscore enough how big of a deal it is to be at home on a Thursday rather than on the road. It's not arduous travel. We just came on the train today for a couple of hours and sat in a nice chair, and it wasn't the end of the world. It's not like they're flying cross country on a Thursday, so maybe that's not as big a deal as normal, but I like your chances if you're Washington to split with the Eagles. I think the two teams are close enough together. I'm also not completely sold on Philly as much as everybody else seems to be. These five straight wins with the number one defense in scoring and yards over those 5 weeks, they've played quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson, Daniel Jones, Trevor Lawrence, and a couple of Hammenegger 9-to-5 jobber backups for the Cowboys. They have not seen an offense like this one. They have not seen a quarterback like Daniels out of the bye. The last time they played a really good team, they got doubled up by the Bucks. So I'm just not as convinced, but tonight could change my opinion on that. And we got into the bar here at Bayou Bar and Grill in Philly, and we were let in by Joe, and he said to us, he goes, you guys are good again. Like, what do you think about tonight? And I said, well, we're going to find out.
We'll find out a lot.
Just how good we are. And I feel like there's been a couple of those games where they've had a chance to use a stamp to say, actually, we're legit, and we can win playoff games. Baltimore played well but lost. Pittsburgh had a 10-point lead and lost. At some point, you got to win one of these if you want to announce your presence with some authority.
Yeah, especially on Natty TV, as you pointed out. And it's, it's, you know, dispel any negative stuff that might be creeping in. Dispel the yeah buts, right? The shouty shows are all sitting there going, okay, you know, they haven't beaten anybody. They're good enough to beat bad teams, but are they good enough to really compete at the highest level, beat playoff teams, etc.? Again, here's one. They're right there. It's for the division. Doesn't get bigger than this.
Time to head on over to the stadium, Lincoln Financial Field, where we'll be watching the game with the unwashed masses tonight, Danny. Last chance for you to back out.
Out with the peasantry. That's right. Left hand in your pocket. That's how we should be doing it.
Are you going to signal first downs?
Never one time. That's the most obnoxious thing you can do. Michael Irvin started that. We shouldn't be copying it. Hand the ball to the referee and go back to the huddle. Go back to the huddle.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much harassment do we expect to take from the locals? And how much how many times will we be punched in the face? Over, under, one half of a time?
You know, I'm going to say under on punch.
Okay. Will we be thrown up on purpose by one of those gross people who does that?
I'm going to say no to that.
Okay, throw up. That's good.
But verbal harassment and harangues when we're discovered?
Will any batteries be thrown at us? One
no.
half of a battery?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
So you think it's just a lot of verbal harassment?
I think it's regular harassment.
Okay.
The normal harassment.
I can accept
Not
that.
Like law-breaking harassment, just the normal chirping.
Big thanks to Ryan back in studio for making it all work. Darris for making the trip up here with us. It is time to go watch some football. Enjoy your evenings. 106.7 The Fan keeping you company as we get closer to kickoff. Grant and Danny saying so long. Thanks to the folks out here at the Bayou Bar and Grill for making our broadcast possible in Philly. Let's go watch some football. As a reminder, Danny, tomorrow we're in Silver Spring.
Third Hill Brewing is the spot. Come on out and see us. Two Post Meridian. We'll be either celebrating a win or talking about coming in second.
It would be really, really nice if we're celebrating a win. A Friday Field Trip Series, Silver Spring, our first stop out there in years. Come see us. Burgundy and Gold pregame with Denton Day and Toby Altizer comes your way next year on The Fan. We will talk with you at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.